Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back. It is Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge movement. Lynnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock. Thursday night football kicked off. Bengals and Ravens getting ready for an AFC North slobber knocker on Prime Video. We'll keep you up to speed on that contest here throughout the rest of the program here tonight. We'll talk a little bit of Washington Wizards before we get out of here as well. Draymond Green on his podcast had some very, very kind remarks about the young pups of the Washington Wizards, specifically Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George. We'll play you that a little bit later as well. Right now, though, we go out to the guest hotline. We find none other than one of my absolute favorites, the professor, Kevin Sheehan, joining us, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10 to 1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. Kevin, how are you doing, my brother?
What's up, young bull? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Enjoying the fruits of being a Washington Commanders fan in 2024. Big time move. Feels good, man. We asked you on the pregame Sunday, were you back? And you tap dance around it a little bit. We know how passionate you get about this group. I love your perspective. Someone that grew up around here and has cheered for this organization all your life. Can you give me your instant reaction, Kevin, when the news comes across the ticker Tuesday that they pulled the trigger on Marshawn Lattimore?
Well, I mean, we kind of had the buildup because we were on the air and, you know, there was information, you know, from Rappaport and Schefter and a whole bunch of people. I love it, Lynnell. Like, yeah. I just wanted our guys to be thinking big in a spot that sort of deserves and almost justifies thinking big. Nobody expected them to be in this position, you know, seven, eight weeks ago. But they are. They're 7-2. They've got the second best record in the NFC. They're tied for the third best record in the entire league. You look at what they have ahead of them. They've got a chance to win 11, 12, 13 games. That's not ridiculous. I mean, it sounds ridiculous because we're talking about this team.
Right.
But if it were any other team in the league, you would have said, of course they're going to be a buyer. They're going to go for it. They've got a quarterback. They've got an offense. They need a corner. They need a pass rusher. They got to go for it. So they did it in a responsible way because Marshawn Lattimore is 28 years old. He's under contract for the next couple of years, and it didn't cost him an arm and a leg. Let's just hope, you know, part of his leg is okay. He's got to be healthy for this to really work out, and he's missed a lot of games over the last 2 years. But I love the player, and I love the mindset.
Kevin, it's interesting, right? Because I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had you on, and I asked you the question of like, well, what do they do at the deadline? And it feels like everybody, to a man, we're kind of seeing people's thoughts on this thing change in real time. Because it's like, well, if they keep winning games and this quarterback continues to play at the level that he's playing at, Kevin, you'd be a damn fool not to swing for the fences here, understanding where you are relative to the rookie contract and things of that nature. But as we look at Washington big picture post-trade deadline, Kevin, I continue to say it. There are two tiers in the NFC. There are the Super Bowl contenders, and then I think there are teams that are right on the doorstep. When I talk about contenders, Kevin, I mean Detroit, Philadelphia, Green Bay. Those would be the three teams I think are in a class of their own in this conference. And then right on the doorstep is your Atlanta, Minnesota, Washington, the Rams, San Francisco. After the Marshawn Lattimore move, or even tell us where you had him before that, where do you see Washington in that pecking order of the conference?
Well, I mean, look, they've got the best quarterback of any of these teams.
Yes, they do.
So, I mean, you start with that. If you've got the best quarterback of any team in your conference and you're 7-2, I know it's hard to wrap our brains around this, but you are one of the legit contenders to get to the Super Bowl out of your conference. Now, Detroit looks really good. They're more well-rounded. Green Bay also, I think, is a better-rounded team, offense, defense. And we haven't seen the best out of Jordan Love this year, but I think he's capable.
Yeah.
Philly is so talented. And, you know, we're going to learn a lot about this group over the next week because a week from tonight, the game against Philly will have already kicked off and we will have already played a game against Pittsburgh. My biggest concern, and I think you and I talked about this on Sunday, is I just don't know that you can win two or three games in a row to get to a Super Bowl when you are really bad at stopping the run.
Kevin, we're on the same accord, brother. Preaching.
Yeah, and people like gave them a pass because they were getting better, they thought, against Carolina and Chicago. They got run on by everybody that's been able to run the football, including the Giants. Yeah. The Giants ran it right down their throats for an entire half. They're 31st in the league in yards allowed per carry. They're 29th in the league in rush defense, you know, statistically in yards allowed per game. They're 26th in DVOA. Now, the corner may help.
Yes.
Because you can load the box if you can play man coverage, and you can play man coverage now. But you know what, Linnell? They loaded the box a lot in the first half against the Giants and still got run on.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
That's the thing to me, Kevin. And me and Chris Russell went at yesterday for 3 hours over this. And I'm like, look, when I look at the addition of Marshawn Lattimore, this is why I was clamoring for the corner, Kevin. They're playing a light box, the fifth most in the NFL against the run. Talking about six or fewer defenders. So they don't do it. They play the light box
a lot.
They did do it. They did do it on Sunday. And that's the thing I want to get at here. With Sunday, and you go back to that first matchup against the Giants, this is what has hurt Washington so much with their run defense. For whatever reason, the defensive tackles are getting displaced by double teams, getting pushed back into the lap of the linebackers. I don't know if it's a technique thing. I don't think they're just out there flat out missing tackles. I just think the numbers game in the box has to improve. And then these defensive tackles have to take it personally that, hey, I'm not going to – I'd rather you fall in the hole than get pushed back 3 yards.
Yeah, I don't know what the answers are. They're not a bad tackling team.
No.
They don't have a lack of talent in their front seven, actually. I mean, Luvu and Wagner, you could argue, are the two best players defensively. Chin, you know, when he's down in the box, is a pretty good player. I'm still a Payne fan, and Johnny Newton's really coming on pretty strong right now and may be their most talented player on defense in terms of what is upside. I don't know what the answer is. I will say this. The Giants ran the ball on the Steelers.
Yes.
Tyrone Tracy's good. Sometimes the other team just schemes it up well, too, and it looked like there were just a couple of misses, but it's been consistent. And here's the thing. The next two opponents, we're going to know, because Pittsburgh and Najee Harris, they've been running the ball, and you know clearly Philadelphia wants to run the football. So we'll find out over the next week if they've improved, whether or not it's the corner, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, that's helped them improve, although I don't know that he's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's got to get better, though, because even though you can overcome it, like they did twice against the Giants, they did against Cincinnati, they were right there with Baltimore, you can't overcome it when you're great on offense in 2024, you know, with the way the game's played, and you've got a quarterback like Jaden Daniels. But you don't want to live that way, getting, you know, not getting off the field because you're giving up 5-6 yards a carry.
Kevin, you can't look at the past decade, and I've done it, and I gotta go back and do it again just to make sure my numbers aren't off. You're not going to find a team bottom five in the NFL in rush defense that had sustained success throughout the postseason. It's one thing just to get there, but this is not a team that should be looking to be one and done in the playoffs. When you've got this quarterback under center, you could beat anybody in the National Football League, but not with that glaring weakness. You mentioned Philadelphia and how their group is going to die, live and die by it. It feels like the last couple of weeks, although the opponents haven't been great, Kevin, Philly stopped being cute and realize who the hell they are, and they have Saquon Barkley, and they have a big, bad physical offensive line. 46 rushes for 237 yards Sunday against Jacksonville. You think Washington is capable of handling that? I don't. And that's why, to me, adding Marshawn Lattimore was paramount, but I'm still in wait-and-see mode because I don't know. It's one thing to add a guy on paper. How does it impact the guys realistically? That's my thing.
Let me just say this. This is a good thing to be worried about at 7-2.
Yes.
You know, because the flip side of that is, what if you struggled to score but were really good against the run?
Right.
Have it this way with the way the game's played. But you're right. You know, if you go back through Super Bowl champions anyway, mm-hmm. it's hard to find a really bad run-stopping team. It's actually hard to find a team that doesn't rush the passer well. They've actually gotten better at that.
They're top 10 in that category now, in sacks at least.
Look, offensively, you got a shot against everybody. Yeah. They've already overcome getting run on a couple of times. I mean, Chicago rushed for 200-plus yards. I know it was in part because Caleb Williams was running around, but Swift averaged, you know, 5-plus yards a carry, had one big one, maybe more than that. So we'll see. I mean, you got another half season to improve with you know, some of the players that are perhaps still just getting used to the scheme
right.
halfway into the season, and we'll see if Lattimore helps. And here's another thing. Newton just keeps getting better each week.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next two games, you're going to find out, you know, where your run defense really is. And if it's what we've seen, that would be a reason to feel like you're limited in the postseason from winning two or three games in a row to get to a Super Bowl. Super Bowl, I said.
I'm about to say, right, look, that's the crazy part about it.
I mean, we got to check ourselves here.
I know.
They play Pittsburgh and Philly. The thing about the Philly game, man, is that you get them twice, and the first one's there, and it's a week from tonight, and it's a big one, and they're coming off, you know, Dallas, who's, you know, probably not going to give them the test that Pittsburgh is. It's probably tough to play Pittsburgh and turn around four nights later and play again.
And that's what I'm saying. They're going to be black and blue coming out of this one. And you segue me into my next question. Brian Robinson's hamstring, Kevin. If I'm Washington, I'm playing the long game with this thing. We know how hamstrings work and how it could be something that lingers. You mentioned going to Philadelphia after playing Pittsburgh. The schedule makers have been kind to Washington all year. This is a tough ask. You're going to be black and blue coming out of that game. Do you just sit him against Pittsburgh and make sure he's 110% to go against Philadelphia, the game that's more important on its surface, Kev?
I don't know, Linnell. I mean, I'm not sitting anybody that's healthy enough to play.
For sure.
You know, in a game like this. So if he's healthy enough to go, he's
if there's
he's
a question
playing,
about
and,
it, though.
And we'll deal with Philly afterwards. But if he is, you know, compromised like he was last week, sure, you'd rather have him against Philadelphia than against, you know, Pittsburgh. And I thought Rodriguez showed us a lot, you know, again in their last game. So you'd have a nice 1-2 punch with Eckler, Rodriguez, and, of course, McNichols as well. So, yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, he plays.
Yeah, that's been the thing that I've been going back and forth with. If there's a question about it, if it's close, I'm erring on the side of caution. We're joined right now by Kevin Sheehan, the host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, weekdays 10-1 over on our sister station, the Team 980. Something else that I've been thinking about, Kevin, over the past 48 hours since this acquisition of Marshawn Lattimore is, how does it impact the rest of the secondary You look at all of the advanced metrics and some of the charts. There's this run. There's a throw the damn ball page, Kevin, that has been putting out these data charts based off of PFF stuff. And Noah Igbinoghene is grading out as a top 10 to 15 corner in the National
really?
Football League right now. Yes, I will send it to you personally. We just were talking about it.
I've talked about him. I actually think he's tough, and I think he's played well, but I didn't think top 10 to top 15 corner in the league.
Kevin, I'm going to send this to you and Denton.
I like the way he plays.
For sure. I'm going to send this chart to you and Denton. In terms of separation allowed against wide receivers, he's been really good in that category. He's obviously got to finish a little bit better. But I asked that to ask you this. Like, is it a situation where are you leaving Mikey Samuels still outside and it's Benjamin St. Juice that goes to the bench? Or how are you playing that?
I mean, we're going to find out. You know, we may not find out on Sunday if Lattimore's not playing.
Yeah.
They find out a week from tonight. But that's interesting to me because we don't know how they're thinking. They shouldn't tell us about this. The only thing we've learned from them during the course of the year is they certainly see Sanra still as an inside corner, you know, as that being his future. And that where he's been playing has been more out of necessity. So I do think that they'd love to see him there. I'd like to see him there as well. By the way, I think he's fearless in the run game.
Yes.
Get him, you know, in the box when he's on the field. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, you trust Quinn and you trust Witt Jr. to do the right thing. But I think that's an interesting thing. I had no idea Noah.
I'm texting this to you right now.
Yeah, but he definitely has stood out at times as a guy who plays sticky, who also, you know, will tackle. I actually feel that way sometimes about St. Juice too.
Yeah,
and
he hasn't
know that
been
he
bad,
doesn't...
Kevin.
What'd you say?
I don't think he's been bad. I think the Ravens game really and some of these untimely penalties have colored the way we talk about him. But
and
the grand scheme of
to
it,
a lot of corners,
exactly.
Yeah,
but that's...
so. But none of these guys are Lattimore. Healthy.
No. Not even close. It's a different level.
I think sometimes, you know, people, you know the name. They don't know. He is a legit number one cornerback healthy in this league, and he's a badass competitor, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be part of what they really liked about him.
For sure, and I think listening to Joe Witt earlier today, it's like a kid on Christmas thinking about how much more versatile he's going to be able to be on the back end and getting creative with these pressure packages. But, Kevin, that's 7-2. Yes, the defense is improving. Yes, Brian Robinson's a big part of it. But the way Jayden Daniels is functioning right now at the quarterback position is unlike anything I've ever seen in a Washington uniform. He is damn near flawless, Kevin, week in and week out. And normally when I'm talking about a guy like that, it's some sort of hyperbole attached to it. Not at all with Jayden Daniels. Each and every week, he is making 3 to 4 plays per game, whether it's a throw or getting out of a sticky situation that make your jaw drop. When you look at what he has been through the first 9 weeks, Kevin, say the defense doesn't get better and the run defense continues to struggle. As he continues to progress and get better, do you think he's got enough to maybe lift this group offensively to where the defense doesn't have as much pressure on him? He's already done that, but can it sustain?
Yeah, I mean, he's already done it. I mean, when you have somebody playing at the level he's playing at, and we Denton and I have been talking about this week. I mean, I think, you know, you've got the Mahomes tier, and I'm not talking about his statistics. I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
He's in a tier by himself. And then you go to the second tier. And usually you save this conversation for the offseason after you've seen a guy play a whole season. I don't need to wait. He's in that next tier with Lamar, with Josh Allen, with Joe Burrow. You know, if you want to put another one or two guys in that tier, he's in that tier. He is, you know, I can't even imagine at this point him not playing well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to get a game or two where, you know, like this weekend, they're playing T.J. Watt. They're playing a well-coached and a real difficult team to play defensively. And they played that against Cleveland, but they didn't have, you know, the complementary football, you know,
right,
when they played Cleveland that day. So, you know, the offense was out on the field for three plays, and the offense got so many opportunities. But I don't – I mean, again, it's like – we got to wrap our brains around this whole new day. If he were playing for anybody else and you were being objective, you'd already say he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and it's not even debatable.
Yeah.
He may be, Linnell, he may be the scrambler I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, forget about the fact that he's a good design runner,
yes.
He's a good option runner, he's good in the pocket, he's good at, you know, outside the pocket. But when he decides to, you know, he's so elusive. He's Vic elusive.
Yes.
He's got speed and quickness that I don't know how many players have had. That safety blitz that they ran at him last weekend, and he just, you know, moved his hips barely and was, you know, off to the races. He was point A to point B in like a second and a half, and it was like a 15-yard gain. I mean, you can throw the best that have ever done it. Randall, Vic, Steve Young, Lamar. He is that kind of scrambler. And that part of it's not a surprise because he's one of the greatest scrambling quarterbacks, one of the greatest running quarterbacks I've ever seen in college.
Yeah.
But he was also a great thrower in college. And we've, you know, obviously seen that this year, is he's not just a dual threat run quarterback. But as a scrambler, man,
yeah.
If you don't contain rush him, you're going to get killed. And, you know, even when you do contain rush him, like the Giants tried to do at times last week, he still got out of there and got yards.
Yeah, he's going to make you wrong more times than not. I give credit to the offensive line and the way they played against New York. Their pass rush had been humming. But, man, it's much easier to play up front when you've got a guy back there like him that can get out of a phone booth. I mean, he has been, like you said, Kevin, it's been absolutely amazing to watch.
How defenses rush him, right? You know,
you want a slow play.
If they're going to contain rush and they're like, we can't let him get outside the pocket, it's going to be easier to protect him.
Yeah. It's been fascinating to watch, man. I hope he's able to stay healthy. I'm glad he got out of MetLife without any injuries, but they're terrible turf. But, Kevin, it's always good doing it, buddy. We're going to find out a lot in the next 8 days, my friend. I appreciate you joining me as always.
Anytime, Linnell.
That's Love Kevin Sheehan. Appreciate you. One of the absolute best. Make sure you tap into the Kevin Sheehan Show. Weekdays 10 to 1 over on our sister station, The Team 980. We'll take a quick timeout. Let me come back more overtime. We'll get into the Washington Wizards a little bit in the final hour of power. But when we come back, I want to get back into the Brian Robinson conversation. Should Brian Robinson play versus the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday? I'll tell you what I think next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Thursday night edition of Overtime. Thursday night football in full swing. Bengals and Ravens from M&T Bank Stadium. Those terrible all-purple uniforms on full display out in Baltimore. Speaking of uniforms, Commanders wearing all burgundy this weekend. And my guy Jeremy Huber of SiriusXM and does play-by-play for the Georgetown Hoyas, their football program, tweeted out what I felt in my heart of hearts. Hubes, we feel you out there, my brother. I'm trying to find it here. Jeremy Huber tweeted, he quote tweets the Commanders' announcement for all burgundy, and he says, "So are they trying to commemorate the 2008 game?" For those who don't know, Washington wore burgundy for the first time, all burgundy for the first time against the Steelers that year, and the Pittsburgh fans took over the stadium, so much so that Washington had to use a hard count. I'll tell you what, I don't expect that to be the case this weekend, because times, Jeremy Huber, are a-changing. Amen. Times are changing in Baltimore, too. Ravens down 7-0. First quarter getting ready to wrap up. They're inside the red zone at the Cincinnati 18. Whoever's able to score touchdowns and not field goals in this game will determine who wins it. It's just the way these AFC North battles go a lot of the time. But Joe Burrow already off to a rocking start. 9 of 17, 93 yards. And I mentioned earlier, he's playing as good a football as anybody in the NFL at the quarterback position. He just is. It's Burrow. It's Burrow. It's Lamar. It's Jaden Daniels. Those guys are in a category of their own right now. Washington, though, big time matchup coming up Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the one thing I continue to say is, if you're Washington here, how seriously do you consider sitting Brian Robinson on Sunday? Seriously. The way things went last weekend. Dan Quinn told everyone who would listen on Sunday morning that, yeah, Brian Robinson's going to be good to go. Yeah, Brian Robinson's good to go. And we all know how that went, ultimately. That was not the case. He was not good to go, and Washington was without him. Now, luckily, it's the Giants, and you didn't really need him. But in this Sunday's game, I think you need him, man. I do. I really think he is a pivotal part of what Washington wants to do. But you got to weigh your options here. We keep saying it. You're going to learn so much about this football team over the next 8 days. Like, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn more against Philly because they're the better team. That's my opinion. You're going to learn more against Philly because they are the better team. And quite frankly, that's the game that's more important. So if I'm Washington and you know it's a hamstring, give him ample opportunity to get himself ready to go. That's the lens I'm looking at it through. Give him ample time to make sure he's ready to go, and then it's all hands on deck for Philadelphia, meaning we should see the debut of Marshon Lattimore, right? We could see Brian Robinson back. That's how I choose to go with this thing, man. And some people out there, I tweeted it out on Twitter, as I mentioned. Some of the comments were interesting on it. People had mixed emotions. They didn't just think I was some dumb idiot. There were mixed emotions on this thing, and for good reason. if Washington's going to get to 11, 12 wins the way some of you project them to, they're going to need a healthy Brian Robinson. As great as Jaden Daniels has been, and he has been phenomenal, the identity of this offense, the toughness of this offense lies with Brian Robinson and what he is able to do down in and down out, in between the tackles, getting them in third and manageable consistently. That matters. The big question to me, obviously, is going to be the health. How does he feel? Because for me, if he's close, but not 100%, not doing it. Just not. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Should Brian Robinson play Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Final hour of power coming up. We'll take your calls on B-Rob. Plus, we'll start to look at some other numbers when it comes to Washington in Pittsburgh. Go around the NFL, play a little contender or pretender. Jam-packed final hour overtime coming up next here on The Fan. Final hour of power coming up here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you to 10 o'clock. Keep you up to speed on Ravens and Bengals as well. 13:04 left to go in the opening half. Knotted up at 7 apiece. Lamar Jackson just hooked up with Nelson Agholor for a touchdown. Lamar Jackson, 21 passing touchdowns to just 2 interceptions to start the 2024 season. Can you say back-to-back MVP, please? That's what it sounds like for Lamar Jackson. He is on a tear. And for the lazy football people out there that say that Lamar Jackson can't throw, shove it. He's been awesome throwing the football this year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I want to talk a little bit about Commanders and Steelers coming up on Sunday. And the one area that I think is going to determine this football game. I know this isn't sexy. It's not flashy. It's just substance to me. It's what matters. Whoever is able to perform better in the red zone Sunday will win this football game. Because I think both offenses will have the ability to move it in between the 20s. When things tighten up, who's going to be able to score touchdowns instead of kicking field goals? For Pittsburgh, since Russell has taken over, granted, the opponents haven't been anything to write home about. I'll give you that. But since Russell's taken over the last two weekends, Pittsburgh's offense has looked marketably better. They just have. And Russell allows them to feature their downfield passing attack a lot more, and they've benefited from it. You know, George Pickens, his production up with, you know, Russell Wilson being a part of the fold. 4-for-74 against the Giants on Monday Night Football. You go back to Russell's first start against the New York Jets, 5-for-111 in a touchdown. So having Russell under center has really helped out George Pickens, and him scoring touchdowns in the red zone is something I worry about. Washington's got to stop him. But in reality, like, I think the red zone numbers for Washington and Pittsburgh will determine who wins this thing. Washington against Chicago was 0-for-6 in the red zone when it comes to touchdowns, right? Last weekend against the Giants, they were technically, I'm going to go fact check myself here to make sure I'm the genius that I think I am. Technically, when you look at the box score and you look at Washington's red zone numbers, they have them listed. I'm trying to find it here, make sure I'm not tripping. They have them listed as 3-for-6, but in reality, we know the way the game finished. They took a knee inside the 1 yard line. So technically, they were 3-for-5 last week, 3 touchdowns, 3 red zone appearances, 3 touchdowns. Like, that to me is good enough, right? It's good enough. But when you're going up against the Philadelphia or an Atlanta or Green Bay or Detroit down the line, you got to be as efficient in the red zone as possible. Because they've shown that, talking about Washington, they're going to move the ball against anybody. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. It's about, can we finish drives by scoring touchdowns? And I think that's the big dare I call it an issue, but that'll be the difference maker Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like that to me is going to be the difference. Can you score touchdowns, not kick field goals? And can you not beat yourself? It's what matters most. I look at this matchup too. This is why the Brian Robinson thing is huge to me. 100%, and I knew he was going to go Sunday. I'd pick Washington. Because I look at the way the Giants were able to run the football against Pittsburgh, and Kevin actually mentioned that when he joined us. The Giants ran it well against the Steelers, and I want to give the Giants credit because Tyrone Tracy seems like he's just a good football player, and he is going to overcome whatever shortcomings the Giants offense has. He's going to get his no matter what. Give him credit for it, though, man. But it makes me look at Pittsburgh defensively and go, where is the weakness of the Steelers' defense? We look at Pittsburgh in its totality as a defense in terms of yards per game, right? Pittsburgh Steelers, ninth in the NFL in terms of yards per game given up. Total touchdowns given up, second fewest in the NFL at 12. They're guarding people. Yards per pass play allowed, Pittsburgh Steelers 16th. In the NFL, middle of the pack. I'll say this about Pittsburgh's defense. And I'm going to give credit here so you all don't accuse me of stealing information from someone once again. That's what we like to do around here. Joking. It's a joke, people. Chill. Chris Russell. Love you, Rooster. But no, Mina Kimes, who, for whatever reason, catches a lot of flack and people don't buy what she says a lot of the time. I wonder why. Not going to get into that, but it's ridiculous the way you all look at her. She's a damn good analyst in the National Football League. I really think she brings tremendous insight. She does a really nice job bringing the data to life, so to speak, and giving you context. She was giving some numbers on Pittsburgh's defense, and they are drastically different when they have a quarterback kept within the pocket and a quarterback outside of the pocket. When they have a quarterback bottled up, we gave you the numbers. They're 16th, or they play like a top 10 defense, rather, according to the metrics. When they keep the quarterback in the pocket, when the quarterback is able to escape the pocket, they become a bottom 10 defense. So what is one thing Jaden Daniels has done really well? Escaping the pocket. So if you're Pittsburgh, you got to keep Jaden contained. That slow rush that people have been trying here, where it's don't get too far upfield, keep him in front of you, in turn, it's given Jaden Daniels more time to throw the football, and he's making teams pay. Max, we were talking about it earlier. The throw to Noah Brown, my voice is cracked in a unique way. The throw to Noah Brown, the second half, where he layers it over two underneath defenders, or two hook defenders, I guess is what I'd officially call them. And then it's in front of the safety to Noah Brown. I mean, just a dot. That's what the kids call it, a dot. He is diamond people out there. So I look at him, man. I look at him and go, man, he's going to be able to make big-time throws week in and week out. It's what he does. The one thing we think about automatically with Pittsburgh is that pass rush. T.J. Watt, they just added Preston Smith to the fold. Alex Highsmith. I would say this about the Steelers, what they got at the edge rusher spot. It's the best edge rushing, I would call them a quartet. That's a four, right? They're the best edge rushing quartet in the NFL between T.J. Watt, Nick Herbig, Alex Highsmith, and now Preston Smith. That's a damn good foursome. You split any of those two tandems in half, they go start somewhere else. Like, that's a really good, you know, quartet that you've got there. So that's the one area I look at Washington and go, man, they got to be able to handle Pittsburgh up front. Now, hopefully, I can pull up the old handy-dandy injury report to give us some insight, right? As good as Brandon Coleman was last week, pitched a shutout. Didn't allow any pressures, any sacks. As good as BC was last week, we gotta get Corn Lucas back. Doesn't look like he's going to be back. Two back-to-back DNPs for Cornelius Lucas. So we're going to see whether or not he's available or not, but we're going to see. I'm laughing, Max, because I see what's written on the call screen.
He said it, not me.
He said it. He's going to say it again here on the air. And Scott's a regular. Scott in Falls Church says JD5 is the black Josh Allen. Scott, would you like to expound upon that?
Well, he does. If you see what the incredible things that Josh Allen does week in and week out, I'm a Bills Commanders fan.
Oh, wait, hold on, Scott. Hold on.
I like you already, Scott.
You're a Bamanders fan? Is that what I call you? Can I call you a Sills fan?
You can call me whatever you want, man. But
do you invade the bull? Hold on, Scott. Not hold on, Scott. I gotta chastise you now. The one thing that annoys me, I love Bills fans. They're a passionate group, Josh. Or excuse me, Scott. Do you mob the bullpen every Sunday with Bills Mafia? We're down here across from Nats Park, and the bullpen.
If I could, and I didn't have family and children obligations, then I would.
Man, it's the thing that sickens me the most, especially when we were losing and terrible. I get off the metro coming to work the pregame show, and I'm seeing a bunch of different jerseys, but then I see these blue, ugly ass Bills uniform jerseys, and they're all going to the bullpen. And when I say they're like 300 deep in the bullpen every Sunday, how can we let another team, an out of market team, take over one of our local bars?
It's the same reason why it was easy to root for the Bills from 2014 on. So it is what it is. But we can get back to the question at hand, which is that everything that Josh Allen, that Jaden Daniels does, Josh Allen is doing as well. And his escapability, his improvisation, his failure to turn the ball over, his IQ, those are all the things that when they drafted Jaden Daniels, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be special. I didn't realize he was going to be this special this quickly. And to see the comparisons.
Yeah.
Now, Josh Allen has about 40 pounds on Jaden.
Yes.
But if Jaden puts on 10 or 15 more pounds of muscle over the next 5 or 6 years of his career,
I didn't even think about that. He's going to get bigger.
I would see him being even more explosive, because I think personally he's better than Lamar at where he's at right now.
Yes.
And he might almost be playing better than Lamar is with less talent around. Because I would say that maybe
I hear you.
If you put Terry McLaurin on a couple other teams, he might be your second or third wide receiver.
Might
be a
Scott.
Second, maybe a third. Devontae Smith's very good. AJ Brown's very good.
Terry's like, top five in the NFL Chiefs, in receiving yards, Scott.
You number put one some, on the Bills.
Scott, you gotta put some respect on Terry. Yes, because the Bills receiving corps stinks. Terry's playing like Terry's playing like a top five guy right now.
Now he is, yes.
Statistically.
I think because he is a quarterback finally.
And I agree, Scott. I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067. I wanted to get this before we hit the break. It is Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf getting interviewed by Kevin Garnett, of all people. It was weird to see it because those are like two explosive personalities in the sport. KG in NBA and DK in the NFL. DK right now is nursing a knee injury. He's not going to get back with this diet, is he?
I eat one meal a day, drink one coffee, and eat like 3-4 bags of candy.
Man, define bags of candy, man. Jelly beans?
I'm a gummy type of guy. So, all right, I'm just take you through yesterday. So yesterday, I woke up, worked out again, came home, showered. I'm hungry. Run to Starbucks, get a quick coffee. That's going to hold me to like 4, 5 o'clock. This 12.
Okay.
So it's going to hold me for like 4 hours. Around 4:30, I ordered some candy and a water. So I got, what did I get yesterday? Got the Skittles gummies. Then I got the Lifesaver Creations. They the same size bag, so I just mix them. Get the gummy, get the candy, get the water, eat that. That's going to hold me to like 8 o'clock where I'm having dinner, 8, 9. And then I eat dinner, go to sleep.
What?
And a water.
But if you've gotten to lay eyes on DK Metcalf, he's built like a cyborg. Like he was like handcrafted by football gods in a lab. And they said, actually, double the ingredients on everything we've said. That's DK Metcalf. And to think that beast, that mammoth, that monster is being fueled by gummies and waters? It's ridiculous. More overtime next here on The Fan. Yes, indeedy. Still kicking here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in charge, Liddell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10, about a half hour left to go in the program. Before we get out of here, we'll let you hear from the defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Joe Witt Jr. He spoke today at length and gave his thoughts on the addition of Marshawn Lattimore, also explaining a little bit how it impacts the rest of the defense. We'll also let you hear from former Cowboys quarterback Troy Aikman. Why? Well, you got to stick around here on Overtime. Right now, though, as we do each and every week at some point, whenever I'm on 6:30 to 10, it's that time in the NFL season where it's ideal and appropriate to play a little bit of contender or pretender. For that, we're bringing our super producer, Mad Max, Snacks Amos.
All right. First team, got them this weekend. They're sitting at number 3 in the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Contender or pretender.
Way to come out of the gates hot, Mad Max. Full transparency, this is Max's segment. He's choosing the teams, and we're just shooting the you-know-what. I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Max, I'm sorry to say it, they're a pretender. I think it's 7-2. The Steelers, what is their signature win on the year? Beating Atlanta in week 1? Let's think about this, right? I'm gonna put some respect on Pittsburgh.
Chargers are good.
They've got wins over the Chargers, the Broncos, who are over 500 for some random reason.
Sean Payton's cooking. Bo Nix looks way better than I thought he'd look.
I would agree with you on that, my friend. So they have some signature wins, but they're early on in the year. My thing about Pittsburgh is, yeah, they put up 37 against the Jets, 26 against the Giants. And Mike Tomlin teams coming off of bye weeks, Snacks Amos, I mean, it's just a juggernaut.
They're crazy.
I think they're a pretender, though, because I don't like what they have at quarterback. I think their offense, I don't see how the Giants let them move the football on. I don't see how the Jets gave up 37 points to this group. They just don't scare me offensively. They've dealing with some injuries up front. Zach Frazier expected to return to the lineup this weekend. Steelers are a pretender, though.
All right, next up, we're jumping over to the NFC now.
Okay.
Got them a little bit later in the season, so we'll see how that shakes out. I think we got them in December. I think it's December. The Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me about Hot Atlanta. Now, if you were listening earlier in the program, I kind of told you what I thought about the Falcons. To me, in the NFC, there are hierarchies. There are the Super Bowl contenders, and then there are those teams right on the doorstep. I continue to put Atlanta in that team that's right on the doorstep. Here's the thing about Atlanta. Their defense, while loaded with stars name-wise, statistically are average. Bottom 10 defense against the run, bottom 10 against the pass. You look at their inability to get after opposing teams' quarterbacks, 26th in the NFL in pressures. Like, it's disgusting. To have Matt Judon and to be, let's go to the official numbers here. The Atlanta Falcons are, the Atlanta Falcons have 9 sacks through 9 weeks.
Wow.
They're god-awful at getting after the passer. And that is like my thing with them. They can't rush the passer. I don't know if they win their own division. If Tampa gets healthy, I got to go with the Bucs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Atlanta's also a pretender. Like I said, they're in that second tier.
Back over to the AFC. I don't remember if I asked you about them last week, but the Buffalo Bills.
This is a team that toys and tugs on my heartstrings weekly. Josh Allen, in the football that he's playing right now, as good as anybody in the National Football League. There's an Achilles heel to this Bills defense, though, who's actually playing really good. We highlighted Christian Benford a little bit earlier, playing as good a corner as anybody in the NFL. The Bills' run defense is... We keep getting on Washington about how they struggle to stop the run. The Bills, in terms of rush yards per play, seventh worst in the NFL. In terms of runs of 10 or more yards given up, fourth most in the NFL. So that's my one area with Buffalo where I go, oh. They've also faltered against the two good teams they've played on their schedule, talking about Baltimore and Houston. Down the stretch, Kansas City, San Francisco, L.A., Rams, Lions, and then the Jets again. I'm going to say they're contenders because I believe in Josh Allen. But I don't know if I really mean that. I can't go three straight pretenders. They're pretenders.
Wow.
I think the Bills are pretenders.
All right.
But they're in my super six pack.
Yeah.
This will be the last one. We'll be quick here. We had to take another timeout.
Last one, I got to get a quick one in for you. But I don't really have a team. But I do want to get your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs. Will they go? Will they stay undefeated for the rest of the season? Because I really.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I look at Kansas City's defense. That, to me, is like why things are going the way they're going. They're elite on that side of the football. And they, you want to talk about some signature wins. Baltimore, Cincy, Atlanta, Chargers, Niners, Bucks. Down the stretch, they've got Denver coming up Sunday, which will be a tough one for them. They've got Buffalo, the Chargers again, Steelers, Texans. It's like their type of games. I don't know who gets them. I think Houston has the best shot at getting them, maybe Pittsburgh, but I think they finished the season undefeated. Buffalo's got a shot here in 2 weeks, but I just told you the Bills are pretenders. So that is contender or pretender. Shout out to Mad Max behind the glass, giving us the teams to choose from here. Enjoy the NFL tunes as we take you to break. When we come back, there is a certain Dallas Cowboys quarterback that was asked which team he would buy stock in over the next 5 years, and you'll be pleasantly surprised to hear his answer. That's next on Overtime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.